podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
So we are above a cafe.
Mm.
We've borrowed this equipment and we're in a room above a cafe. I think that this room has the vibe of where someone takes you and murders you in an Italian gangster film.
I don't think it's that bad. You've really painted it, I think, in a really negative way.
I'm not saying it. I mean, I did say that earlier to the person, Goldstein, who's allowed us to come here.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think of it as that much of an insult at the time.
Do you know what I think of it? I think it's like second last episode of the TV show The Block.
Okay.
And they're running behind.
Yeah.
But it's not far from being whipped up into shape.
They're running behind.
Like, and
that's
it's
more of an insult. That's a renovation show. It's like you're saying it's a fucking construction site.
Dude, look at whatever that. That's like a weird gurney that's just near us. But it does feel like that way, but like you actually look around, need much. It just, the floor needs to be varnished.
It's
and
got the meat and
back.
Potatoes of like a good place,
dude. There's a bathroom, kitchen. You could put a new kitchen in.
I think this is often though where people would kill you because they drag you, at least in movies, to somewhere which is a bit abandoned.
I've never killed anyone, so I don't
know. Oh, really? Oh, no. That's cute.
Yeah. Well, you've killed a few.
What would you do if you did? You have this conversation when you were a teen that you could just drive to a random place and kill someone?
Well, I've often thought... Do you ever
get away with it?
Well, okay. So there's two things I want to say about this.
Yeah.
First of all, Luke Heggie has a joke or a line where he says, talking about murdering someone, he goes, you must be so bad if you can't like get rid of a body in Australia. And then he says this, he goes, it's the biggest night of your life. Drive the extra mile, which I just think is so funny.
It's the biggest night of your life.
It is the biggest night. If you kill someone...
It really is.
It's absolutely the biggest night of your life. But I often think... Like, why don't we all just kill? It's crazy. There's just like the fabric of society would be eroded so quickly. And that's what happens when wars and whatever.
Yeah.
And then if we're just like, if it means less killing. Right now, there's this huge moral boundary between me killing you.
Yes.
But if that disappears and then I'm like, it's acceptable to kill you, then we'd all be killing everyone.
I don't like how this conversation has changed about like killing someone in the abstract and killing me.
I
would have thought
that
some sort of affection for me.
You're talking about killing someone in this room and you're the only other person here.
Okay. I would have hoped that there's something more than some sort of weird like abstract social sheen that would stop you from killing me specifically.
Maybe affection or love.
Maybe some sort of...
No. It's this weird... It's a social contract
that I would have built up
into.
Over years to prevent you from murdering me the first chance you got. Like, I thought I was, you know, stood differently in your eye, but that's fine.
No, I wouldn't kill you, but I would like... But with anyone... I reckon... Have you watched Mr. In Between? You have, right? The TV show?
No, I haven't.
That's so good if you're interested in getting rid of bodies in the Australian bushland. That's like pretty much half the TV show.
I feel like you could just... I think the thing is, I suppose one is hiding the body. That's a big one.
But I think you should think about that before you kill. But I mean, sometimes it just would happen.
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of murders are kind of, you know, spur of the moment things. I suppose my point is if you... Often, I mean, most often the boyfriend or if a woman's been killed.
Yeah.
Or even if a man's been killed, it's obviously someone who knows them, right? Because there's some sort of like beef.
Yeah.
But that's why I think you could really get away with it if you just drove to a random suburb. Like we're in Melbourne right now.
Yeah.
Just drive an hour out.
A bit further.
Pick a random person. Kind of like,
so you're doing,
I suppose,
this for the love of killing.
Well, not for the love of, I'm just saying hypothetically, like I wouldn't do it because I don't love killing. I would find it very scary.
I would find it morally bankrupt.
Yeah.
I think the first thing
stopping me is that it would be scary. The second thing would be, if I wasn't scared of it, I'd consider it more and then probably say no. Well, not definitely say no.
Yeah.
Because it's immoral. But if I'm honest, the first thing stopping me is that it would be scary.
Have you ever thought about, say, someone was like, if someone was going to kill you and they're like, but they faked it. So say you're on your knees, they've blindfolded you, they're holding a gun to your head and they're like, have you got any last words? And then you're just like, don't kill me or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay.
As far as last words go, don't kill me, pretty good last words.
Oh, don't kill me. It's absolutely what I'd say.
You're in denial about them being the last words.
But I would like, and then if they didn't and they took the blindfold and they're like, got ya. I would be like...
got ya.
I don't think I would recover ever. Like, honestly, because it's like I've almost... The other day I stepped onto the street and I thought a car was coming, but it wasn't. And I had this like half second... feeling of like nerves and all through my body, and it was like it ruined me for the day.
Yeah.
I was like, but so if someone tried to kill me, mm-hmm. and then didn't do it in the end, even though they were like, all right, we've gone in a different direction with our plans.
So it wasn't even a prank.
Not a prank.
God.
Strategically, they decided like we audition. Don't want to kill him.
We've run it up the ladder and we've gone in a different direction. We're actually going to murder a cooler guy.
Yeah. This guy's not worth it for us.
He's... Well, now my last words are like, come on, give it to
come
me,
on, guys.
Guys.
You don't know. Have a look at my Insta profile. Scroll through. You see, I'm worthy of a bullet.
This is an assassination territory. If you want to be an assassinator,
it's an assassination of my character.
Yeah, what happened last Thursday? Yeah, my character got assassinated. I wasn't even worthy of killing, according to these fucking thugs. Dragged me to an abandoned place and insulted me like that.
But I just think it would ruin me for life. And it probably does. I don't know. I just see in
How
movies.
How often does that happen, though?
I just see in movies and they go, we're not going to... And then they get on with their life and then they're like killing.
Aren't they but often for me, spies I'll be in therapy or something, forever. Though?
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think that's the thing that they do with those spies. And I think that's why... That you often see like military training. You know how like the general or whoever's in charge is often quite mean to the subordinates.
Yeah.
They'll be like, "You're a piece of shit. You're a little worm." They're like right in their face.
Yeah.
When I watch that, I'm always like, "Wow! Like that is no way to treat someone who totally. Is going to be like you know maybe saving your life later. Like that'd be so nice.
Or that you're giving a gun to."
Yeah,
it's like, what if he just turns around and he's like, you were so mean to me.
And some of these guys, they're not like, they're yelling worm in their face. These are not worms. These are big men.
These are big, huge men.
Who look like they could be, they're young, they're stupid, they're vindictive. You're about to give them a gun. Be nice. I'd be like,
so nice.
This is the best group of army men I've ever seen in my life.
I'd be like, you are going to do wonderful things in the world and I am with you. It's you and me versus the world.
Such potential. The boys that I'm looking at in front of me. And you know what I love about your faces? So trustworthy. You wouldn't betray us. Soul, you guys.
Loyalty is key.
And I love that about each and every one of you. But I think what they're doing, now I think about it, is they're stripping down their ego and they're making them so they, I suppose, have already been kind of ruined in a way, in the same way that.
Well, you
actors,
do it with the dog, though. You abuse a dog and then it becomes like weirdly attached to you and then will kill anyone else for you. like a guard dog. You know, like a junkyard dog.
No, I mean, I don't know.
So, have you ever been to
training dogs?
Have you ever been to like a car yard? Have you ever been to a car yard? Not like a to buy a car, like a used car, like a trash, a heap yard where they like spare parts.
Okay.
Strip the car, and there'll be like a Doberman or a what
Rottweiler. Yeah, on a chain.
It's ready to kill you. Yeah. But that's because they beat it up when they were young. They've abused it. They gaslit it, which is arguably worse. And then it's. Emotional abuse is the same as
gaslighting your dog. You know when you throw the stick and then you hold the stick behind you and you never throw it at all? That's gaslighting. And that is actually disgusting behavior. And that is worse than abuse, according to Sam Taunton.
You know
when
you know pretend you've got a tennis ball in your hand, you throw it and they go running and then they realize you haven't? That's actually worse. It's ruins dogs. They need Valium after that. No, but they've been like tricked into being vicious.
Yes.
But they'll protect you. But that's what they do in the army or to these trained.
Also, they protect the owner who abuses them. Is that? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because that's all they know.
Okay.
And I think deep down they seek love.
But wouldn't they want retribution as well?
Well,
like the army
maybe they will, but then they've been programmed so much that they don't.
I suppose they get. Surely there's a bit of a treat as well. There's a carrot as well as the stick.
Maybe they get it. In my head, they get a full steak.
Totally.
You know, that's what they get thrown like a
that is
huge
so
real
true.
Steak.
Like. The weird mutts that are in car yards tied to chains.
Yeah.
They're not getting many schmackos.
No. It's not
they're
a few
like eating just
bit of dry
scraps.
No, it's like a full steak. They're eating better than any dog in the world.
Yeah. The steak, it feels like insulting because it's just like pfft on the ground. But actually to a dog, that's like
and
gourmet.
Dogs love food. If you asked any dog, I reckon most of them would take that deal.
Mm.
They'd be like, I live in a family in a nice house and cuddle them at night while they watch TV.
I don't care. I'm an
but
animal.
You have to eat like shitty, maybe a chicken neck or like some dry food. Or you get a full steak. You have to sleep outside tied to a chain. Occasionally you get let off to go fucking skits at an intruder.
And you get to go crazy. No, like, no, come back.
It's your time to shine.
Exactly.
You're in charge.
Star of the show. Yeah.
That would all take that deal.
Absolutely. I think they like to hunt. So I suppose that is what's going on with the army men. They get, when they get to the torturing or they get to like, they think they're going to die.
Yeah.
They have kind of, that part of them has already been broken. The part of you that wasn't broken and was spooked by the bus.
I think that's actually,
I suppose that's what's going
on. Yeah, that's disappeared. That's what they say, that it's like they don't feel that that feeling and they can be... Because I felt it went through my body. It was like a feeling Because I have been hit by a car before.
That's right.
And so I remember that.
How did it feel then?
It felt the same. It's like that feeling I had. Because the car was just in another lane, but I just stepped on the street and I thought it was turning in straight into me, but it wasn't. Like it was going past. But when I got hit by a car, I remember that jolt of like, it was like electricity through my body.
And then I got in hit your by head, were you like, oh shit, like the famous thing is happening to me?
Absolutely. That's like, the exact...
I'm getting hit by a car. Like, oh my God, I've heard about this. Like, dude, no.
That is happening. Absolutely what... And maybe that's like first character syndrome because I should have been like, whoa, how do I land properly? But in my head, I was like, Sam. You've been clipped by a car here.
Exactly.
People are going to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what exactly... I thought, holy shit, I've been hit by a car.
Yeah.
And it was so slow. I remember like everything slowed down and I was like... I had time to think. I've been like, you've been hit by a car. You could potentially, because I was flying through the air at this point.
So and you
I was
went like, up.
So I went, it got
you hit
me.
The bonnet?
It got me front bonnet, but like headlight on the side. So on the side, if
and
it's coming towards me, it's got me on the
side
like, passenger side. Legs, yeah, like lower legs, hips. So it clipped me. Car's going forward. So I've gone at like forward on a right angle. So if it got me in the middle, I would have gone over the top.
Yes.
But instead it got me on the headlight and I've been like through to the side but forward a
and
bit.
And where did it hit you? On the thigh or something?
On the, yeah, like kind of on the thigh and the lower leg. And I was like, the whole leg was like...
And you didn't jump? Because in my mind, I'd jump.
Well, I was still trying to get past it. So I've like tried...
Oh, so you were almost
past
it. I'm
on pedestrian crossing and I'm running across it and then I couldn't see because it was blocked by another car.
Totally.
And then it got a green light. So it was coming up the inside lane and just hit the pedal because it saw a green light. And I was running across and then I saw it. And then last moment I was like, keep going, you might outrun it.
Yes.
And then got clipped and then flew to the side.
And flew kind of in the direction that you were running.
Sort of, yeah. That and like then maybe like 45 degrees from that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I can now picture it.
Yeah.
Fuck, that happened to me.
You got
recently.
Hit.
I didn't get hit, but I fucking
so you
almost.
Kept that quiet.
Not so that didn't happen to me, but very like I ran across the road outside the Gladstone.
Oh yeah.
And I saw like I was looking at the cars that were coming, and the last car in a set of them was like a big truck, kind of van thing, and I'm like, great. After that, I'm running. And then checked the other way and then started running. And like after the van, there was a car behind that was like hidden, like in your scenario. And then it fucking like, I was an inch away.
No.
Or something. It zoomed in front of me. I was like, fuck.
Did you get that feeling I was talking about or not? Or
not really, because it was too quick. And I only realized afterwards, but I had a very sinking feeling. I think there was one other time when I was like 21, where I might have told you about, where I was going to run across the road. And I looked right, checked, no one was there. I looked left and there was a car coming kind of far away. And I was like, oh, I could make it.
Yeah.
And I almost ran.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of 50-50 whether I ran or not. But then went, oh, nah, probably shouldn't. And then a bus came speeding past. I'd missed that. I thought it was stopped or something.
Yeah.
So if I'd taken the decision of the 50-50, I'd be dead.
Well, that stuff.
And then you have like a sinking feeling of, wow, like your mortality sets in.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more of a depressing, reflective feeling.
That's crazy. Because those bus ones, because it's like...
You're just gone.
You're gone. Oh, so often I'll be
standing
at a pedestrian.
There's no bouncing out of anywhere. You know?
45 degree, you bounce.
You're down.
Around. You have a moment to be like, oh God, I've been hit by a bus. No, it's like squashed.
Totally.
But you know when you're at the pedestrian lines and you press a button and then you stand there, sometimes I just like look down at the gutter, which is like a foot from me, and then I just see a bus just fly past in that foot gap. That's even then I'm like, whoa, like I have a sense of like, you know, death is around the corner.
They're good at driving.
Are
but
they?
We trust them too much.
We trust them way
we
too much.
We have way too much. But back to killing people.
Oh, so fantastic.
I feel like...
I was talking up this chair before we started the podcast. And now I'm like, it's going to collapse at any moment.
Oh, my God. It does look kind of rickety.
Oh, wait. This is... Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah, no worries. It looks like the kind of chair that you would be tied to before you were killed. Oh, that's what's going on. Yeah, well done. You've identified the issue. You've solved the issue.
Yeah, so you're... So, killing people.
Well, I mean, Luke Heggie...
Yeah.
Used to work for the police.
What?
Or work adjacent to the police. Because I remember him saying...
He was a criminal?
He was... Yeah, where do you go? I work adjacent to the police.
I'm an organized crime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm in prison currently for many fraudulent and violent crimes.
Let's just say they don't have a job if I don't have a job.
That's adjacent. I'm parallel. No, I think he was like responsible for like reviewing police footage or something of like police interviews. Because I remember him saying... maybe it's in a bit, but that most people who get caught, basically, I think his point is, if you get caught for a crime, particularly a serious crime, you're a bit of an idiot because the cops kind of aren't doing that much. It's not like they have this, you know, extreme investigating prowess.
Totally.
And a lot of people get caught because they admit it. Either
it's gossip.
Yeah. So it's either people telling the cops, like, because they feel bad and they get a confession out of them, or they tell someone, or someone figures it out, I suppose, because they weren't home or something, and then it's just gossip within the town or wherever they are, or them bragging at a pub.
Well, the
and then someone
at the
overhears
pub
them bragging at the pub.
I've heard that's like the source of most cases getting cracked.
I think, like, cold cases.
Someone's drunk at a pub and they're like, you don't know, mate, I've done heaps of shit.
Yeah, and this is the thing, I remember, like, when. Okay, this is going to be a weird.
When you killed someone.
No. When you have a crush on someone when you were younger and you're at the pub and you want to talk about your, like, hey, you've got a crush on someone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of. I just remember
that
feeling.
No, it would be that feeling.
Of, like, you really want to talk
about it. You're bringing them up in a weird way.
It's on your mind and everyone else is just chilling out, just talking about whatever. And you're like, fuck, there's one topic I want to talk about. It's like burning me up inside. That's something that I really care about right now. It would be exactly the same if you were like 10 years ago, you killed a man. At the beginning, you'd be just so stressed about, like, getting away with it that you'd be pushing that down.
Yeah.
But with time to reflect, you'd feel guilt and you'd want to share it. And you have a few fucking beers with a close friend.
You'd be like, guess what?
You'd be like...
I did it.
It's like, you know that thing that I denied?
That I denied and it was in the news? I did that.
I did it.
I don't tell anyone. I did that. But I still think you would be. I don't know. I've never done anything that bad.
No.
But I don't know. To me, it'd be like, you never tell anyone that, ever.
I mean, obviously, that's the ideal. But get a few drinks into you.
I would love to do. If I did kill someone and then hit it, I would write a note when I'm dying, hopefully. Or
what?
I would write...
To sully your reputation.
I just think I would want it out there, and just for, like, family gossip for years to have.
That is, because,
like,
legitimately
how
one of the kindest, kind of most altruistic things I've ever heard.
Well, no,
to sacrifice your legacy for the gossip of...
But you told me about... Was it your grandma... You found letters after she passed away having an affair or whatever. I don't know.
Not
if that's
an
private.
Affair. No.
But there was another guy or whatever.
No, this was when she was like a teenager.
Oh,
so I just,
okay.
I found, like flirty letters between my grandma and like guys in the war.
Yeah.
So there was no, you know, moral component of cheating
but still,
or anything. But it was like
I was
hooked
on and sinker when you were telling me about
it. Yeah, totally.
So maybe if you did that, imagine people would talk about it. Imagine you'd be like, hey, so I just found out my grandfather. He was that great guy. Remember that he was a philanthropist. He,
this
he
is
donated,
your future.
He was a comedian. He donated all his money. He was actually the biggest comedian in the country. No one thought he was going to get there, but, but he had a late surge in his career.
And he was really good to his mate Tom on the way up
Tom,
as well.
Yeah,
he
really. Tom.
Never forgot about
we
his
loved
words.
Tom. He could have killed him once in a warehouse.
Yeah, he almost did.
He almost did. He had a chance to do it. But he killed a guy. And then didn't tell anyone. He killed a girl when he was 24. Didn't tell anyone. But he wrote a letter and he passed away last week. Isn't that crazy?
It would make
you talk about it forever.
Family feel closer to you as well. That's how I felt when I read my grandmother. It's like, you're kind of brought in on their life.
Yeah.
Like, to tell someone a secret is an act of love.
True.
You know what you could do as well? You could hire one of those people who go to your funeral and reveal things about you.
Oh. Dude, have I told you about just before COVID, I had to do a segment for the project on this dude called, he had this business called The Coffin Confessor. Never went to air on the project because COVID hit, but they put it up on their YouTube. But this is that guy's job. He gets paid to go and crash funerals. So the person that...
I saw him on Insight,
I think, that's
SBS.
The guy.
Is that
the guy? Yeah. And so I spent a day with this dude and his job is he goes to funerals. And he just unannounced, he goes, he's been threatened to be bashed so many times. And he just...
He stands up
in the funeral.
I have an announcement.
Yeah. And he goes, and he says, my client is the person in the box.
Yes.
And he goes, they've asked me to say. And so he reveal things. A lot of the time it's like, I had an affair. That's a bit... He said that's the most common one. I had an affair. He said, I've done... Or it's like, I committed a huge crime.
Why would you
want to
reveal that?
I think it's they want to get the guilt off their conscience and be cleared in the other life.
You know
but
what,
he said he had to go to a Hell's Angels biking gang funeral and reveal that the guy was... he was like closeted gay. Like, and he had a wife and kids.
Oh, my God.
And he said they were like, you have to get the fuck out of here straight away.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
That's scary. I feel like if it's just to get it off their chest, then he should just not reveal it. And take the money.
Well, I said to him that I was like, dude, you could just take the money. Never do it. They're dead. They won't know. And he was like, no, I have an obligation.
I'd agree that he has an obligation, but Oh, man, they could really have their cake and eat it too, of getting the feeling on their deathbed of confessing to the world, but then no one finding out and their legacy is intact. I think with the gay thing, maybe then they'd want to make a statement and hopefully like help cure the homophobia and the Hell's Angels.
But that's like, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the circumstances. Exactly. But
whereas
it's like,
the affair, there's a moral, there's a moral, immoral thing component.
And they're trying to clear their guilt from
exactly. I do feel like, though, it's funny that he is like, yeah, that's my job. It's like, well, you've created this. It's, yeah, it's like, it's all you. That's not like, oh, yeah, I'm getting orders from anyone. No, you've offered this service.
He's offered this service, but he said it was like, it's crazy how much interest there is. Like, people do want it. He said it's mainly people with terminal illnesses. That there's like a fixed timeline on how long they've got so they get their affairs in order.
Yeah.
They call him. He sits down with them. And then he has
to... I mean, that's the first...
Dude, he then has to just like... try to keep an eye on if they're dead or not. Like,
oh, good point.
And then, like, how look out for notified? A notice.
Yeah.
Because it's like the family don't know he exists. Totally. They meet him in private. And so they need an app. So he just needs... Yeah, he needs an app.
He simply needs an app.
And have to track the lifespan. But then he has to kind of look out for funeral notices and then go and do it.
It's pretty fun. I'm kind of jealous. I think that's his first... like customer base is people who know they're going to die.
Yeah.
But equally, you could, you know, we could right now hit him up and give him information about our current lives
and say,
and then just say, if we die, if like, we you know, die. Whenever in the next, hopefully in 50 years, like, but if I get hit by a car, like, we're clearly quite reckless.
Just come out and say, I stole my best joke.
I reckon I want one that is just a compliment.
Oh, that's nice.
Like,
yeah.
Tom would like to reveal to his sister, he thought you were fantastic. And he was always lying when he did the bits about having a small penis is actually normal.
That would get tears.
Those were just jokes.
That would get tears.
Yeah, my dad's crying.
Are you worried about... So we're at Comedy Festival at the moment.
Yes.
But I saw your show the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously you've got all that terrific small penis material.
Yeah.
Do you think people think you're doing... you actually have a small penis, or do you think they... Or it doesn't matter to you?
I don't care. I have a girlfriend.
Are you going to do the bit? No.
What? Oh, should I say the bit?
No, don't say the bit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you don't care because you've got a girlfriend?
Yeah, I think that helps. I think if I was actively trying to sleep with people at the show,
yeah.
It would be... But I think it's even then a bit funny to just say... I don't know.
I find it very funny how long it goes for. Because it's like, it's not a few quick gags. It's a chunk.
It's a chunk, but I've shortened it in my... People simply get sick of it. They really do. It's too much. But no, I'm not too worried. I feel... If people think you have a small penis, I'm kind of owning it a little bit in there.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm not too concerned, I don't think. When you came, we could maybe talk about what happened when you came to my show.
What happened when... Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely.
I walked out on stage.
Yeah, and can I say, it was a terrific show. I had a ball. I was sitting with a few friends and we were cackling away. It was a tour de force.
Come along if you're in Melbourne. Good Lord.
Also, come to my show.
Taunton's got a show.
Also, if you want, there's a code, newsletter. Write that into the thing and you'll get cheap tickets.
There we go. I don't have a code.
No code.
Full price, please.
Yeah, more. Yeah. You have a code for them to pay extra.
That would be great. My PayPal, I can share that with you if you'd like to give me more money. But on this particular night, I knew some friends were in attendance.
Yes.
And I think it was... Yeah, I mean, I said this to you. I do think I had a bit more of a casual approach because it was... People were kind of like spread out a little bit.
Yeah, it
like
was
the front row wasn't full.
Like
if everyone's packed in, oh, this feels like a show. Got to get...
Yeah. It changes the way you are.
It kind of does a bit. But I walk out and I notice that the guy sitting in the front row is like... Looks like he's like 13, 14 years old. And I think they ask you at the beginning, particularly down in Melbourne, I think they're keen to like flag what kind of material is in all these shows.
Oh, they love
that. So they ask you, you know, how much coarse language are you going to be using? Adult themes, like what are the themes? This is like a front of house person. I suppose I was aware that I think you have to be technically 16 to be in the show.
I don't know.
I don't care. And there's nothing too crazy other than me talking about my small penis.
Yeah.
But it was just notable. I'm like, oh, how old are you, mate? Made a few jokes.
And this is like a second into the show.
Literally didn't even say hello.
Yeah, hadn't even...
The first thing I was... He
picked up the mic and went, you were so young.
Exactly. And then I'm like, how old are you? I made a few jokes, I think, about how I can't swear. I was like...
Yeah.
I think I said flip instead of fuck.
Yeah, which I like. That was early on. I was like, he's turned it around.
And I mean, this is a just a classic humor, like, oh, I need to censor myself here. Asked him how old he was, and he's like, I'm 25 years old. And I'm like, lol, yeah, all right, you bet. I think I then got some guy in the second row to, I'm like, look at him. Look at this guy. He's not 25. He's a teen. He's lying. Because I'm like, yeah, this teen is kind of lying about his age.
Which is funny. He's at a comedy show.
Yeah.
And you now can't, like, take him apart for that. Good on him.
And he's laughing.
He's having a great time.
And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm ribbing this this teen for lying to me. And then I ask his sister how old she is. And she's like, I'm 20. He's my older brother. I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Like, you look older than him. Like, oh, everyone's... And then I remember just saying, I mean, you're lying to me. Unless you have one of those, like, things and point it to my face.
And you did. What you're doing now is exactly what you did. It was like a brush stroke over your face, implying a thing that something's wrong with him.
Well, yeah. It's some sort of, like, I suppose, growth hormone disorder where people don't...
They don't age
physically. Because his voice was also sounded like a teenager.
He had a high-pitched voice.
He had a teenage-y voice. And it was only as I said that that it occurred to me that, yeah, he could actually be 25.
Yeah.
And have just one of those growth hormone things. And he's not lying. And I'm just yelling at a guy with a growth hormone issue.
For like 4 minutes at the start of the show, there was no like, hey, it's nice to be here. You just started being like, why the fuck are you so young? You're so young. It's crazy. You're lying to me. Have you got one of those growth disorders?
And then he kind of, I don't think he nodded, but he kind of didn't go nut. Like, and
it was a real good sport about the whole thing.
He was such a good sport and he was laughing, thank God, because it could have been much more awkward than it was, but still one of, probably the most awkward start to a show I've ever.
It's the most awkward start I've ever seen to a show. But it wasn't like bombing in any way. Like, people were laughing.
It only started bombing when, I think the revelation that I was in an awkward spot was getting laughs.
Yes.
Thank God. Yes. That's what you want. It's like the awkwardness to be funny. But then I kept coming back to it because I was just genuinely very embarrassed.
But we all spoke to him after. He was great.
He was, thankfully, he would maybe, I mean, he gets it all the time, which makes it worse.
He did look young, but he came over and chatted to us all.
He looks really young. I think he's fine. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, he was great. He said to me that he saw my show in Canberra. He was like, I saw your show in Canberra.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, thanks for coming. He goes, bad crowd.
You're a bad crowd. You're tricking people.
It's like, man, I think you're the person that's making them all bad. But it's so funny that he brought it in. And now you're the goss in the comedy festival. Is that your tech? You're having tech dramas.
Oh, I just...
I'm not following your show day to day.
Are you friends with your tech?
My tech's got a crush on another comedian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to hook them up. Actually, it's actually becoming...
That's awesome.
...a big issue.
Is it a boy or a girl?
My tech is a girl.
Okay.
And the comedian is a boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't tell you who on air.
No, that'd be crazy. Of course
but
not.
But it's like a bit of fun.
That is so much fun.
It's a bit of fun indeed.
I would dream of a buddy relationship like that.
So it's like we're walking in every day. We're like, what's the update on the crush?
Oh, God. Have they talked to this person?
They're chatting heaps.
Oh.
I was talking to them both individually last night. Yeah, trying to make it happen.
This is like, yours is like an old school 90s rom-com.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And mine is like a thriller where someone has to die.
This is your first kill, your tech.
Exactly. I'm like on a podcast, do you reckon you can get away with killing a random guy?
It'd be a great spot to kill the next 20 minutes. It's like, I hate this person more than anyone I've ever met. I want them to end.
Yeah, usually the main suspect is like a husband or someone in their family or someone who has got a close relationship with them, not someone who has a kind of a very short working relationship with them.
What's your tech doing though? What's happening?
Look, I think it's fine. I think it's an interesting dynamic all the time because you come in, you've got nervous energy, you've got to be ready to perform.
Yes.
And you've worked on this show. And then, they're kind of often quite young, often a bit disinterested in like the performance in a professional way. Like they shouldn't be too interested. But then because you're all nervous energy about the show, you're kind of looking for more like...
You want more from them.
Positive feedback.
But I don't think they understand the nervous energy.
No.
Because I feel like all the techs just treat us like... We're just another worker at the festival.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like,
which we are.
But it's like, then we then, which we are, but then
but
we
different.
Still do have to perform.
Exactly.
And so that's why then
there's
you spend
different,
half
different
an hour before your show talking about who you got a crush on. Because they're just, and you're just like, I'd also love to just, have I got a few notes?
I'm trying to remember the hour of stuff I need to say all in the right order.
I just need to go sit in the corner and just
borderline word perfect way. Like, fucking hell. But yeah, my one, I think, is lying to me. Because he cut his... Well, he didn't come in one day,
That's such a tricky one. Where was he?
Well, I got told that he had cut his hand on the door as he left his house. And I'm like, oh, no, that's no good.
That's
like,
no good at all.
And then another person stepped in and it was fine. And then the next day I'm like, oh, how's your hand going? I hear you have a hand injury. And immediately the hands went behind the back.
No.
I'm like, oh.
This guy's the worst liar of all time.
And he's like, no, it was less about the cut. Like, I hit my hand on the way out. It was less about the cut. It was more about the shock of that I thought I was cut. So there's no, and then he showed me his hands. It's like,
that's
there's
like
no
me
kind of
get,
no
almost
real
getting
cut.
Hit by the car.
Yeah, exactly.
It ruined me for the day. I get it. I'm with the guy. No. I'm Team Tech. No. It can be traumatic. He's got PTSD from almost cutting his hand on a door. How does he cut his hand on a door?
This is not the same. To fear death, to almost encounter death, is not to almost encounter a cut. You know?
It's so crazy as well to use that as an excuse when all you have to say is, I have COVID-like symptoms.
Well, now he has COVID. He's out for the week. He's used it all. He knew he was going to use the COVID excuse.
So he had that in the back. Yeah. And then he was like, I need something. I cut my hand on a door.
Well, I do wonder whether
you cut your hand cooking.
That's the thing.
No, everyone would be like, of course.
It's such a stupid story. I feel like it's true. I think he did just call in sick because he thought he cut his hand.
And he was traumatized. How is he in charge of the buttons for an hour of your show?
Exactly. But now, I've got. Then they smashed the TV.
Now, this is crazy. When you told me that last night, I was like, that's the worst I've heard of any tech. Because, like, there's always tech stories each year.
Yes.
So, basically, if you don't know, like, when you do a comedy show, they have a tech who's in charge of all the audio and the visual stuff.
What are they in charge of for a stand-up show? Making the mic be
that's
on.
That's the number one.
And then a bit of music before the show.
Yeah.
And then fade it down.
Yeah.
And then fade up the mic.
And lights as well. Like, there's a spotlight. They've got to turn the lights on and off.
Yeah.
But it's not heaps, and there are shows that have cues, but now most people have clickers and stuff,
yes,
and so they use it all.
No,
but you still need a tech, but you don't get
not
to pick
Grinspoon at the end more, you know.
Yeah,
it's probably the easiest tech as far as techs go. I
would
imagine
the
on
easiest.
The spectrum of what they do, it's probably
yeah,
should
it's
be
not
the
like
easiest.
Doing a live band where you have all the tracks and you have to mix the sound, there's no sound mixing.
Well, I didn't think that, but then I spent like so last night, I've got a new guy because the other guy has COVID, and I suppose we had an hour to do a tech run.
Yeah.
But then for the first 30 minutes, it was lots of just kind of like chat and kind of casualness. And he was like literally rearranging the cords on the stage that weren't being used because they were kind of wrapped up in an unseemly way.
That's a bit of
way.
Fun. That's important to do.
Well, I mean, it is that kind of nice extra touch, but like we hadn't even tested the sound yet. And then so after half an hour of kind of like just chatting and kind of very slow kind of relaxedness and like arranging things that didn't really matter, the sound wasn't working at all. And so that then it was a freak out to kind of turn the speakers on.
No sound is so bad. That's almost
there's
as
just
bad
not
as
even
could.
Any like nothing. Out of the mic or out of like the
has he
computer.
Teched before?
Oh, I don't know. But then I discovered the problem like the PowerPoint wasn't on for like the thing that connects the sound.
See, that doesn't even sound
like
real.
Minutes. I know.
That the PowerPoint couldn't be on.
It's like, oh, I didn't check that. Okay, so I've figured that out. I've done that for him.
You're checking yourself. You should get his $35 an hour.
I should. And then the mic, we started testing the mic. And then it was like, kind of a tinny, weird sound. And so I'm like, oh, could we make it just a bit more like a normal mic or whatever? Like, but I don't have the language. And then there's all those buttons on that.
Yeah.
He's like doing that. And that took 20 minutes to make it sound normal. So you say that there's no weird levels, but
there must be. But how did they break the TV? That's more what I want to know.
I don't know.
They just dropped. You turned up, it was smashed.
They just dropped it.
Was there a new one when
there's
you got there?
There's another one. There was a replacement one, thankfully, that we had.
Who dropped it? That's what.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to, because then it's, you know, when people are embarrassed about stuff. But then I walk out last night, the mic's not on. I'm like, oh, could we have the mic on? And
is
it
that
was
getting a laugh?
Not really.
They don't like
I'm like,
tech.
How old are you in the front? I'm going back to old
what are you, 6 years
you
old?
Look, well, yeah, 46.
You can't hear me probably because the mic's not on. I can say whatever I want.
I'm a big age
they
guy.
Don't like in Melbourne when at these shows when the tech doesn't work. I always thought it's funny to get away with, but no. I've had one show with tech dramas and it was like, they were like, we're paid, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like they were upset.
It's $30.
Yeah.
$25 with the newsletter
with
code.
With the newsletter code, please use it. Go to comedyfestival.com.au/YoHoDiablo.
He said he didn't turn it up because he didn't want the sound of picking the mic up off the stool.
That's crazy. Who cares about that sound? That's also a nice sound to signify the show's beginning. To me, if you
I love that sound. Okay, it's one of my favorite sounds.
You, hear that? You probably didn't even hear that. No, to me, that's like beautiful. I like when you finish. I put the mic on the stool.
Yes,
and it has a nice little thud.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm like, and then I yell, "Thanks for coming."
They're all trying to make work for themselves to try to do little things and then fucking things up. This is, I mean, it's boring. I'm just. They create the problems for themselves by trying to do little weird things.
Look,
when really it's probably the easiest thing.
No, but they do have one thing that's hard to do. They have to watch the same show for an entire month.
Is very
and
true.
See like comedians recreate spontaneous riffs, do crowd work that they've done before.
To be honest, for that and for that alone, they should be paid double what they're currently being paid.
I have to do sunrise weather tomorrow, the weather segment cross.
What do you mean?
On the telly? Sunrise.
You're doing sunrise.
I'm not doing
weather.
The weather, but the weatherman.
You're a weatherman.
No, no, dude. Hopefully, if it all goes well, they ask me to come back and full time present the
That's
weather.
That's so sick.
But I, I'm going to be there. I'm on the street.
You comedied your way into a weatherman role.
Well, I just got asked. They said, Do you want to do a live cross for the weather? And I was like, I've been waiting for this.
Hang on, when do you have to get up?
Not that early. Like, it's at 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's
so I've
got to
be there at
8.
So, okay. And then I don't know what we're going to do, but they're going to be like, Comedy Festival's on. I think they're going to ask me to tell a joke, which is not my strong suit.
No, you can.
I'll tell one bit or something.
So hang on, let's just get a sense of what your role is going to be. Are you going to be reading what the weather is?
No, no, no. I think the guy reads the weather. Or crosses.
Also, there's a weather guy.
The weather guy's
there. You're with him.
No, no. They don't cross to me to be like, so let's have a look around the country. We've got 23 inch hours in Brisbane.
I thought it was going
to
be.
I would love if
that'd
they just
sick.
Let me do it.
Just get a comedian in. How hard could it be?
I reckon it'd be so good.
I reckon tech, easy. Weatherman, easier.
Well, you know the story.
Just read the auto cue.
We've spoken about Daniel on this podcast before. Mm. But apparently, like, he had, like, the time of his life when he was the weatherman. Because he would just go... He would go to a different country town, like, every night.
Yeah.
They just move them around the country, these weathermen.
Totally.
And basically give him the keys to the city every night. Like, he would come and people would be like... Denya's in town and he would go out boozing like and then get up early morning, present the weather. They all love him. They all like cook him. Like he
often
was
there is a crowd behind them. Going,
yeah, there's a huge crowd. And then he would go to like the next town the next day and just that was his life.
That's a pretty crazy, weird life. Why do they love him? Do they think they're going to get better weather if they suck up?
He's just a celebrity.
Yeah.
And they probably...
And you wouldn't get a lot of people touring.
No.
It's kind of like early morning celeb.
Early morning celebs are different.
You know, like late night, it's a
different crowd. Totally.
You're getting into the sunrise. I mean, you're an early riser. This is the kind of
but I'm not
you
at
get
the moment
because
of comedy festival. I'm getting up at like 8:30, 9.
I mean, that's still early for me.
But
so then, hang on. So you're going
to
be there.
So
there's going to be a weatherman.
Next to him. He reads the weather. Or she
I'm
reads
here
the
in
weather.
Melbourne.
I'm here in Melbourne. The comedy festival's on. I've actually
totally.
Got promising up and coming comedian Seb Taunton.
Yes,
crosses to me, and then I'll be like. Thank you. Blah,
crosses
blah, blah.
To you. You're just,
oh, just
next
I'll
to
stand
them.
Next to him. And he'll probably chat to me. And then I think they're going to be like, can you tell a joke? Let's see how the joke goes.
Yeah.
Which is a nightmare. Or.
Who's on Sunrise? Who are the presenters?
I think you like
Koshy
is the man.
Koshy.
I'd love to do a joke from Koshy. This is what I might actually do.
Yeah.
Koshy's got a joke book.
Oh.
I might go get the joke book.
Yes. And do the lamest one. And if he doesn't laugh,
one.
Be like, that's actually from
because
your joke
book.
Because
in the email they
you
said,
hypocritical
would you, because it's,
fuck.
Because there's going to be people there, like on the street or whatever.
Okay.
They were like, could you do it to the crowd to try to get a laugh?
Oh my
so maybe
God.
If I read from Koshy's joke book.
Yes.
And I say, and I'll go, I need to go buy that right now.
What if there's one about weather in there?
Well, I mean,
then
can a guy get so lucky?
what's a weather joke? So we've got rain, we've got... Shine.
What's the weather? Well, sometimes it's hot.
No, like what are we
sometimes
working with joke
cold.
Wise?
Well, a corny one about Melbourne's weather would be good. You know how they're like four seasons
okay.
in one day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Four seasons in one day.
what about four?
Well, it sounds like an expensive night at an expensive hotel.
Oh yeah.
Four Seasons is a brand of hotel.
Yeah. What about if it's like four seasons in one day, but four... Oh, wait, hang on. No. I was going to do something about meth and Frankston, like a hack joke about like the bad
no, but this
suburb.
Is, this is national.
Oh, shit, it is.
You can't be doing suburbs of Melbourne jokes.
Oh, I've got to shift tickets for Sydney, Brisbane.
Yeah. No, but also you want everyone to understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
What about sunrise? A pun on that. Like sun, so you could have someone's sun, like, and then rising.
Gets their first boner.
Yeah. Sunrise, I haven't heard of that since... I was 15 and my mother came in and saw me with a big
erection. And she said,
erection.
Oh, son, it's risen. No, exactly. It's sun, it's rising.
Oh, that one's actually from Koshy's
joke
pants.
Maybe
I was talking about his erection.
Okay, you're forgetting it's breakfast TV. I don't think that's going to play.
You should go blue.
Go blue.
The sky is blue.
The sky is
blue.
So
is this joke about my asshole.
Well, look, I'll see what's in the joke book if I can go find it. Or I'll print some off on the internet.
Okay.
But I think the reveal is better because I don't want to... They might not let me do it if I...
Totally. Oh, yeah.
If I tell them.
I think that's perfect because it's a bit cheeky, but it's also not blue.
It's not blue. But I've got to have something to go because I feel like... Koshy could be like annoyed and be like, hey, tell
you're
another.
Plugging his book he'll on TV. Like,
tell he'll another love joke. It. Yeah. Yeah, that's
People
true.
People love attention.
And then I'll say that you go out and get a copy.
Yes.
Help Koshy out. His
Or a coffee.
Oh, a coffee.
Because Melbourne love a coffee.
Now we're getting something. Get a Koshy or it's a coffee in a laneway in Melbourne. Am I right?
Good morning, Sam Taunton.
Hello, Sam. Terrific name as well.
Yeah, thank you for that. Let's talk about your show. Give us the vibe. What are we talking? 9:10 tonight at Melbourne Town Hall.
9:10 p.m., which is the perfect time for breakfast TV watchers. Yeah. You can get in and then you just roll straight back into watching TV in the morning. It's good. Nothing about COVID. We're moving away from COVID.
Yeah.
Just dumb stories about my life. And, yeah, I think it's been going well. The Comedy Festival is popping. It's great for it to be back.
It really is. Victoria has so much happening at the moment, which is exciting times. Now, we're going to do something special with you this morning. You wanted to put a smile on the dial of some early morning commuters and you want to just basically share some free comedy with people who are going about their business here in Melbourne CBD.
Absolutely. I thought we could tell some jokes, just random people on the street. Not, they haven't bought a ticket. Just give them the vibe of the comedy festival.
And are these jokes from your show?
No, my jokes, they're not good enough. So I thought I'd go to the number one comedy god and read some jokes from Koshy's joke book, volume 3.
Volume 3, yeah, it was
volume
a favourite.
I hated
it was a
volume favorite. 1.
All right, so we're going to test them because Koshy wouldn't get that immediate feedback.
No,
but we will get it, Koshy. We're going to see how good that, because Koshy obviously wrote every one of those jokes. Over to you, Sam. Let's find some people.
Hey guys, could I tell you a quick joke, sir?
Yeah, sure.
For the comment. Okay, how about this? Two fish swim into a concrete wall. One turns to the other and says, "Damn."
Oh, that was a polite laugh. That was not a genuine laugh.
Okay, give me another go.
Sympathy
okay.
Laugh.
I'll give you another.
All right.
One more shot.
Two cannibals are eating a clown. One says to the other, "Does this taste funny to you?" Oh, man.
Oh,
blame David
the
Koch.
Hatred
this
in
is
his
the
eyes.
Best stuff.
Oh, that's David Koch. Oh, it's pretty good if it comes from him.
It's pretty good for Koshy. Oh, he got the celebrity. Hey, thank you very much, mate. Have a good day. Let's try another audience member.
Okay,
let's try someone else. What about this lady?
Oh, this
she might be listening to a TED Talk, but give it a go.
We'll
give it a go.
Hello, how's it going? No. Please, I'll say it anyway. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, no atmosphere.
If you want to see more of Sam Taunton sharing his own jokes, will there be any Koshy influence in the show in your comedy?
Well, every night I do, you know, pay respect to our comedy legend,
yeah,
David Koch.
Of course. You can see the show. It's on tonight, 9:10.
9:10. Come down, please. Yeah. Love to see
All
you.
Right, I'll take that back. Yeah. Thank you, guys. I'll see you in more than half an hour.
All right, Sam.
I miss your jokes.
They used to get me into so much trouble. Australia lost their sense of humour,
yeah,
I think.
I became
the time is right to bring back joke of the day.
I'm in enough trouble dealing with anti-vaxxers, let alone people who get offended by a joke.
What?
A podcast has changed my life.
Man, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.